So in 2 Peter this morning, I want to talk to you a moment about what it says in 2 Peter, the first chapter. It's something that it's been on my heart all week. I've just been reading through this. In verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Man, something, a faith that is precious. This is what he says. What God gives, the grace that God has given us is precious. Remember that. And it's not only precious, but he said, grace and peace be yours in abundance. He wants us to have it in abundance, this grace and this peace. You know, we need peace, don't we, in this world? Amen. You don't have to look very far. Just things that happen in our life and things that are going on in our communities and things. You know, I've got a friend that's a sheriff, you know, a county sheriff. He works for the Union County Sheriff's Department. And he tells me all the time, people don't even know what all goes on in our community. And sometimes we don't want to know. I mean, honestly. Amen. You know, this morning, I talked to him this morning. Will thought he's getting pulled over, but he come in behind me, and then I realized it was who it was. And he wanted, you know, Will was like, well, I thought he was going to give me a ticket. And I said, no, he just wanted to borrow a drywall knife at trial. But anyway, you know, he tells me things sometimes, not about people. Not he can't do that, and you know. But he will just say, people don't realize all that goes on. There's so many people not living in peace, is what I'm trying to say, because they don't understand the grace that God has given. When you understand that precious grace, that precious gift that God has given us, it makes everything else better. And no matter what's going on around you in life, you can still have peace in your life. Amen. Just like with the washing machine, just like with the car, just like with my computer. You know, yes, those things are important. Yes, those things are frustrated, but does it affect me spiritually? No. It'll be okay. It's just something. It's a minor thing. Important, but yet it doesn't affect me spiritually. And I could let it affect me spiritually. I could let that get to me. And I could have a bad day. And then my bad day could create another bad day with my family, with my wife, with my friends, or with everybody else around me. And that's how it starts, isn't it? Isn't that how it starts? Sometimes we let our emotions get to us. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. We find this in the next chapter 3, or the next verse 3, His divine power. It is His divine power that has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who calls us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power, the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us, the power that can cast out demons, the power that can heal the lame, that power that God has, and it comes from God Almighty, He placed inside of those who receive the Holy Spirit. The power that can do all things, as Philippians 13 says. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. What's everything? That's a big word, isn't it? Everything I do. I can go buy a new washer. No, it's more than that, isn't it? I can fight those spiritual battles. I can resist that temptation to get all bent out of shape and live in not peace. I've got strength to overcome those things. It's His divine power that has given us everything through our knowledge of Him That's why it's so important that we read the Bible, that we read the Scripture, that we understand the source of our salvation and the source of our transformation. God is transforming us every day into His likeness. It is Him that does that. There in verse 4, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. Remember, we used to sing a song, Standing on the Promises of God Our King. You guys know that song? With eternal ages I will shout and sing. What's that mean, the promises of God? Can you name the promises of God? Salvation, eternal life, the Holy Spirit working in your life, His divine powers, right? No anxiety, because He said don't be anxious for anything. I mean, well, you can name it. Those are the promises that God gave us. He gave us a home in heaven. He says, I go to build a place for you. Those are the promises of God throughout the Scripture. And how do we know those promises of God? By reading and studying. We study the Word of God. We gain the knowledge through participating. It goes on to say, through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. I am so thankful that God has saved me. I'm so thankful that God has sanctified me, that I can escape these desires of the sinful nature. I don't fight against flesh and blood any longer, but God gives me the power. I could not do that without God in my life. I don't struggle with sin desires any longer like I did. Yes, I'm tempted. But I don't fight that, because the old man is dead, as Paul said. I am a new creation in Christ, and I live in Him now. The old things have passed away. That is not who I am any longer. I am a new creation, and I live in that promise alone. And it's by the divine power of God can I do that. That's how I confirm my call. That's how I confirm my election to Christ. It is by faith. It's the very reason there in verse 5, he says, this is the very reason that we must make every effort to add to our faith every day. We can't just come to Christ, get saved, and say, well, that's it. That's all I need to do. Now I can just go do what I want, live the rest of my life, and I'll be okay. No. We have to, every day, as Paul said, I have to get up, I have to die out to myself, and I have to live for Christ every day. Why? Because we don't realize how big of a battle that we have. He says, so make every effort to add to your faith in goodness. I made a list of definitions. Goodness, the quality of being morally good and virtuous. So we have to work at that. We have to add to, we have to put effort in to have goodness in our life. And he says, through goodness and to goodness, knowledge. Knowledge, the facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience. Listen to these definitions. We have our experiences. Why? Because if we're doing what God wants us to do, you're going to have experiences in Christ. When you read your Bible, you gain knowledge. You gain facts, information. You acquire skills. And then it says, to knowledge, self-control. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Self-control. The definition of self-control is the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions, desires, and expressions of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. beat up car, broken laptop, and a broken washing machine. I can control my emotions, apply self-control and the knowledge of the Word. God says, I can do everything through Christ that strengthens me. Not to worry about it. Don't be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things. Cast your cares on me, and I'll take care of you. I'll supply your needs. Isn't this what the Word of God says? Did I say anything that doesn't come from the Scripture? But do we really believe that? This is what Peter's saying. This is what he's saying. You know, we can change the situation by letting our emotions get to us. We cannot, you know, and when people witness this through our lives, when they see us in difficult situations show these characteristics, they're like, man, I want that. That's how we win people to Christ. It's not by what we say most of the time. It's what we do most of the time. It's our actions. It's that hope lived out. It's that life lived out in front of people just like Jesus did. Jesus lived out His life in front of humanity to show them that you can do this. You can live a virtuous life. You can live a life with self-control. You can do this. He was the only man that ever lived sinless. But He says, now, you know, you can do this, and I'll give you the power, the divine power to do it. You can do it. But it's not easy. It's not just, I'm just going to give it to you and you're going to be okay. You're going to have to make an effort at it. And you're going to have to walk, and you're going to have to carry your cross every day. And He says, to self-control, then there's perseverance. That's what I'm talking about. Perseverance, to persistence. It's a persistence in doing something. Despite of difficult situations, or despite of difficulty, or failure, or opposition. You wonder why Peter's saying this. If you read 1 Peter, you'll find out that he's talking to the church about all the persecution that's going on around them. Because at that time, they were being arrested, and they were being killed, they were being martyred and slaughtered. And Peter was witnessing all this, and he's trying to encourage them, like, listen, guys, you can't let all this get to you in all these difficult times, because, man, we got to keep the faith. We got to keep going. That's what Peter's saying. We got to keep going. And yes, despite of all this difficulty, we got to persevere in our faith. We got to keep moving forward. We got to show self-control, and we've got to know what God wants us to do. And man, He is so good to us. And so we need to show that too. We need to show this whole world today, don't we, that we have a good moral character? Sure. How many people think that our world has a lack of moral character right now? Yeah. I think 100% of us, right? 100%. It's because they don't know God. They don't know God. And some of them don't want to know God. They don't want to know God. And the only way, sometimes it's not with our words that we say, it's with our actions. Because we show people that we can be good. We show people that we can be self-controlled. Paul says, yeah, I can go do a lot of things. You know, most of you guys know now that I'm allergic to dairy and I'm allergic to bacon. Pork. I can't eat pork and I can't eat dairy. You know, that's tough. Man, it's really hard, because, you know, when you go out to eat or you know, even like at camp, man, they had pulled pork barbecue sandwiches. And they had bacon for breakfast. I mean, you know, and slobbers running down my cheeks, you know. Kind of like our basset hound at home, you know, when you're eating, he's like drooling, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I could eat that bacon. I could, because it'd be so good. It would be. I can taste it right now. I can smell, I can actually smell bacon. Isn't that weird? Maybe it's on Ed's shirt. I don't know. You know, I could eat that, but it's not beneficial to me to eat it because it's going to make me sick. Well, sin's the same way, isn't it? You know, that's where I was going at. We can do a lot of things. I mean, we have the freedom. We have the ability to do a lot of things, but it's not beneficial and it's not good for us. So I have to be in self-control. I have to control myself not to eat bacon, not to eat dairy, even though I love cheese, you know. I love ice cream. I can't eat ice cream. That's miserable. Cheesecake? I love cheesecake. Especially with cherries all over the top. Man, it's too close for lunch for that. I got to get off that. Keep going. Zucchinis are pretty good. Get some out in the foyer. I picked them out of my garden this week. Now, some of them's a little big, but they make good zucchini bread. There you go. Okay. He said, live God, you know, to persevere to godliness. We need to show godliness. And what's godliness mean? The equality or practice of conforming to the laws and the wishes of God. We got to practice those things. You know, we have to do our best to conform, to live by what God, how God wants us to live, to reflect. You know, that definition goes on to say, reflecting the nature of the kingdom of God, Jesus Himself. You think about that. We're supposed to reflect the image of Christ, and we are to learn. That's where the knowledge is that He's talking about. We do these things because we've read and we've studied who Jesus is. We know what God wants from us, and so we want to follow His example. And we live our life, this godliness life, that, you know, we're called unto holiness. We live a holy life. Why? Because we want to practice and reflect the nature of Jesus in everything that we do. Something else I think that's important, it states right here, from living this godly life to having mutual affection. This mutual affection in definition is sympathy of each person. Whatever affects one affects the other. Man, it's like being part of the body. Boy, we've heard that before, right? The body of Christ. Man, you know, it's amazing how, you know, if you stub your toe or if you hurt your finger or you burn your finger, it affects the whole body, doesn't it? One thing that happens affects us all. It saddens me, and I know that Clyde's hurting this morning because of the loss of his wife. And we're all sad because of that. It's hard to deal with things like that. But we have these mutual affections for each other, and we do this because of love. It says mutual affection into mutual affection. There in verse 7, love. Love is a combination of mental, emotions, and physical and spiritual attachments to people or persons. We're connected together. We are connected together physically, emotionally, spiritually by Christ. We're children of God. We're a family. We become a family. And even though most of us have different last names and some of us are really related and some of us aren't, but really none of that matters because we're all adopted into one big great family. And I've said this before jokingly, sometimes we're just one big happy dysfunctional family. But you know what we are as dysfunctional in the family of God, He makes functional. God makes us functional if we live for Him. We love each other. We love each other. And I want to tell you this morning, I love you. I love you.
Thank you.
I don't say that just because. I don't say that just words out of my mouth. I mean that. When you hurt, I hurt. So remember what he says here. Jesus Christ, there in the very first verse there, what Peter says here. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith. I want you to think about this. In order to have faith, we must first have received faith. We must all come to the understanding that Christ is real. That God is real. We must come to the understanding that Christ died for each and every one of us. We need to believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And He sits at the right hand of the Father right now with all authority in heaven and on earth. And it's His divine power. It's that divine power that gives us strength to live all of these things out. All these things out. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, verse 10. Let's go back. Verse 8. For if you possess these qualities and you in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ineffective and unproductive. And unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, verse 9, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Listen to this. You will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such a promise of God. Amen.
Amen.
So I encourage you, read your Bibles, study the Word and learn, gain the knowledge that God wants you to have so that you can live out a life pleasing to God. When hard times come, when difficulties come, you're able to have peace in your heart, knowing that God loves you. And it's His divine power and strength that keeps us, right? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I once again and always thank You so much for Your precious gifts and promises. Lord, I thank You for this great group that's come here today, not just to listen to my words, not just to visit with each other, but yet to celebrate You, to praise and worship You. Lord, we want to thank You, Lord, for the freedoms that we have here in this country. I pray that You bless this nation. I pray that you give us great leaders, Lord, that we need to so that we can continue to be free. Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, let us not ever forget that. But Lord, we want to never forget the freedom we have in You. The freedom we have because of what Christ did for us. Lord, I thank You again. Keep us safe through this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.